countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal, bringing 295,000 readers the latest farming news and the best of rural Ireland weekly.
Now, for Irish farmers, fishermen and food producers, it is not an overstatement to say that this year, 2021, will be a year like no other. There are challenges at every turn: Brexit, COVID-19, the environment. And this morning we're going to have a chat about how things might unfold in the year ahead and point to any hopeful signs on the horizon. Justin McCarthy, editor of the Irish Farmers Journal, is with me in studio. Lorna Siggins, marine journalist, and Donal Denver from Borbia's London office, who are both on the line. Good morning to you all.
Good morning, Marty.
Hello, Marty.
Good morning.
Lorna. Justin, to start with you, in farmhouses across the country, what is the mood right now at the start of 2021 on January 2nd?
I think, Marty, there, in one sense, there's a sense of relief that there was a Brexit deal done, albeit last minute, and albeit that the threat of Brexit hasn't gone away, but the cliff edge that we had faced in terms of a tariff being put on our exports into the UK has gone. And I suppose, Marty, to put into context how much we realise we need the UK market for exports. It's a market that consumes five times more Irish beef than the Irish market itself and takes around 20% of our dairy exports. We export about 12 million euros worth of food to the UK every single day of the year. And I suppose whilst there's relief, there is still concern out there. One, in terms of the movement of goods into the UK now, there are going to be non-tariff barriers in place in the form of health certs, in form of export certificates, the checks at ports, and that's all going to have a cost on farmers. But I suppose the long-term concern, Marty, is the value destruction that could happen in the UK market. The UK now is free to do its own trade deals. It has set a global trade ambition, which it wants to become a global trading powerhouse. And in most of those trade deals, access to its food market, which is 100 million euros worth of food every day. Oh. So it's a big bargaining chip that the UK have. And the concern for Irish farmers will be that as the UK government sit down to negotiate access and trade, that they will be given granting access to the likes of America, Brazil, Argentina, Australia to their food market, and you'll see huge value destruction over a period of time, and that Irish produce will be forced out of the UK market on that basis. And we see it already, Marty, that the UK on Christmas Eve granted 260,000 tonnes of raw sugar quota into the UK. That's going to affect British farmers, and it's also going to affect, it won't affect Irish farmers, but it will affect French farmers that are exporting sugar from sugar beet into the UK market as well. So it really shows the UK's ambition here. It's to trade access to their food markets globally, and that's going to come at a huge cost to certainly Irish beef producers.
You say the Brexit deal was a relief, but it's obviously not the end of the Brexit story. But do you really see, from our perspective, the challenges of Brexit becoming apparent long term rather than short term?
Yeah, really, we've avoided the cliff edge, but the downward hill is still there. And the pace at which we go down that hill will very much be determined by the British government and their ambition to, I suppose, grant third countries access to the food market. And a lot of these countries, Marty, their beef production costs are a lot less. They don't have to meet European standards like Irish farmers do. So you could be looking at 50 cent to a euro a kilo less. And it would effectively be a race to the bottom in price. And that would be a race that British farmers, that Irish and indeed British farmers couldn't compete on. Our dairy industry probably is more globally competitive, Marty. So while there will be disruption on the cheese side, particularly around cheddar, it will probably be able to weather the storm. But certainly the grey clouds have not gone away particularly for the beef industry.
Now, Borbia is tasked with marketing Irish food across the world, and Donal Denver is their general manager in the London office. Good morning, Donal.
Good morning, Marty. How are you? Happy New Year.
Very well indeed. Can you explain the importance of the British market for Irish food producers?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, the UK is by far our biggest market. We export 4.5 billion euros worth of food and drink to the UK every year. To put that into context, that's about 34% of the total. There's a huge interdependence between the UK and Ireland in terms of food exports, food imports. And a really important thing to note is that the UK is only around 70% self-sufficient on food. So they have an import requirement of about 30%, particularly when it comes to beef and dairy. They have a very large import requirement. And Ireland would be the main country servicing that import requirement, particularly when it comes to beef. We take care about 80% of the imports. Just coming on to one of Justin's points there in relation to potential competition from other countries with new trade deals coming in, that is a concern, but I would be a little bit more bullish in this sense, because no matter what trade deals happen, ultimately, it's going to come down to the consumer. So we would be very, very confident in our ability to have to service the consumer in terms of the quality standards that they expect, in terms of the traceability standards that they have come to expect over decades, if not centuries, of us servicing that market. And we have a proposition and a proximity and a shared farming tradition and a shared legacy that in the consumer's mind, and we have lots of research on this, we spend a lot of our resources investigating this, and it's actually the consumer ultimately that's going to be making these decisions. And when we're talking to the likes of your Tesco's, your Sainsbury's, your Asda's, your McDonald's, which are all customers of Irish food and drink products, their main concern is the consumer. And the consumer, according to our insight, according to our research, says that, you know, Ireland is associated with local, Ireland is associated with trust. And these are actually elements, consumer purchasing decision criteria that have gotten even stronger as COVID-19 developed, obviously, this year. So we are absolutely the best positioned country in the world to service these criteria. So yes, there are huge challenges ahead. And as Justin mentioned there, the cliff edge has been averted, but we have a very strong position in the UK. We have great assets in terms of what our products are, but also in terms of how our companies behave and the types of insights-led approach that they take, of course, supported by us and Bord Bia, in terms of servicing consumers. So perhaps I'm slightly more bullish than maybe I would be in my position, yeah. But bullish and confident in that sense.
But Donal, if cheaper options become available through trade deals in other parts of the world, will consumers not be driven by price to change their habits?
Well, I mean, that's always the case. So, you know, like the cheaper options are always there. But, you know, price is not the only driver of purchasing decisions. We have done a lot of it is the primary driver, but actually quality and sustainability are right up there. And in some cases, in some insights work from various insights studies that are done, quality actually trumps price. So there are just more factors at play. Of course, price is always, you know, anyone who goes into a supermarket is always going to be driven by price. But at the end of the day, the likes of quality come into play, the likes of sustainability come into play, the likes of things like convenience and actually addressing consumer needs. And this is what we're all about in Bord Bia. That's why we built a consumer insight centre 4 years ago in Dublin, which we service all of our 16 international markets with, and to help our clients be at the absolute cutting edge of consumer insights and then bringing those propositions to customers and demonstrating our added value service to them. So absolutely, look, we're not naive enough to suggest that price isn't an issue. But like the bottom line is that Irish beef is competitively priced in the UK.
Justin is nodding his head in disagreement here, so I can see the body language. Now you've got to say your piece. You disagree, or you're not as optimistic.
No, Marty, I hear what Donal is saying. I think the big challenge is what Donal says is about price. Like Irish farmers will be hoping what Donal says is right. Mm-hmm. They will assess Bord Bia's value and being able to deliver that and being able to protect the market. But we look today, and typically we see Irish prices running 150 to 300 euros per head less than the British price. So whilst they're comforting words from Donal, I'd be yet to convince. Certainly a lot of what Donal thinks says there, I think there's a market for it, but it will be for British produced product. And that Ireland could very quickly get caught in a pincer movement on the retail shelf, or maybe not even the retail shelf, but in the food service market between a Brazilian product or an American product. And that's the challenge. I hope what Donal says is right. And ultimately, the time will tell. And again, the value of Bord Bia will be assessed in terms of making sure that premium is retained for Irish produce.
Now, fishing communities across the country are also trying to absorb the changes in the Brexit treaty. Lorna Siggins has been talking to fishermen and the industry throughout the negotiations. Good morning, Lorna.
Good morning, Marty. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too. In fishing family homes around our coastal communities, what is the mood there right now at the start of 2021?
Yeah, well, I'm afraid there wasn't much mood for bells and foghorns and New Year's Eve in ports around the coast because between COVID and Brexit, there's a mixture of shock, anger and depression at the outcome. As you know, under the deal, the EU hands back 25% of the total EU fleet catch taken from British waters. And the biggest loser then in this quota shakeup will be Ireland, particularly in relation to mackerel, which Irish skippers pioneered, and prawns, with annual losses already calculated by the industry at up to €50 million annually, and that's probably a conservative estimate. There's a WhatsApp joke that's been circulating among fishermen over the last few days, and it shows German leader Angela Merkel and French Prime Minister Emmanuel Macron, and they're sharing a laugh, and the caption reads, "And then we promised them we'd return any fish that speak English." And that sums up the nub of negotiations that we still have little knowledge about, although we do know the outcome. Dr. Peter Tindall, a scientist and a former Bord Ishiwara official and now a small boat fisherman himself in Galway, says it's clear that Macron threatened the veto to ensure French boats retained access to the English Channel, and that worked for France, whereas Ireland appeared to roll over yet again. And ironically, he notes, Britain failed to secure a 12-mile limit, so parts of its own industry are angry. And it would appear that the self-interest of the member states won out in lobbying for access to fish. So he says that Ireland now needs to ensure it secures Britain's quota in our own waters and that it gets its best legal minds together to make a case for an equitable access to the marine resource as the EU's only island member state now.
And is there a case for compensation for the Irish fishing industry, Lorna?
Well, the Taoiseach had referred to this and he spoke to fishing industry leaders a few days ago. And there is a €5 billion EU compensation fund, which France has already made great play for. But fishermen I spoke to in Kilmore Quay, for instance, they said they don't want to be bought out. Fishing is what they do. They don't want to be part of a shrinking sector. There's been buyouts and downsizes before. And marine scientists like Dr. Tindall explain that fish that are properly managed are an inexhaustible resource, and that's something that farmers would understand. And Seamus Molloy from Kilmore Quay, who I'd spoken to for Countrywide last month, he also said that, for instance, quotas for stock in these waters, which Ireland has been denied access to, should now be secured by our negotiators, like bluefin tuna, which spends up to 4 months migrating through our waters. And Japanese will come halfway across the world to fish bluefin on the edge of our continental shelf. So it seems that every coastal state north and south of us and compass points east and west recognise the value of a resource that we don't appear to value ourselves.
Well, I'm sure this is only the start of the conversation, and I know just very briefly, we've hardly touched on COVID-19, the environmental issues, EU farm policy. But there's another issue for rural Ireland, the prolonged breakdown of ordinary social life. And just to touch on that very briefly, the impact that has had.
Yeah, there's no doubt, Marty, that the whole social fabric has been challenged with COVID-19 and lockdown. I think to some extent COVID-19 has just proved the huge value that farmers play in society. They've kept the supply chains moving, they've kept cows calving, crops being planted and harvested. And as I said in this week's editorial, I think the industry can look back at a dark time and that it rolled up its sleeves and delivered for farmers. Look, farmers are embracing new technologies, WhatsApp groups, Zoom, Teams calls, and it's great to see it, but it's difficult to replace that face-to-face contact.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Justin, Lorna and Donald, for joining us. And it's a conversation I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more of right across the spectrum of life and indeed in the broadcast world as well. That's all we have for you on Countrywide this morning. On sound was Mark McGrath. Brian Moss was our broadcasting coordinator. Eileen Herron produced. From me, Marty Morrissey, and the team on Countrywide, a very good morning, a very happy 2021, and thank you so much for listening.